Right. Good morning. Let's make a start. So I think last time, in terms of what we shared and also what we were discussing largely, was on the verses 6 to 9-ish, roughly, on 2 Timothy, and we touched a lot on quite a few good points in terms of that part. So just as a bit of a recap in terms of what we discussed last time and also last week as well, there was that ongoing discussion, I guess, in terms of our poor situation, also the situation of the church itself, in terms of the difficult position that they were in. But I think what people really touched on in terms of last week was Paul's encouragement to Timothy. So that's it in terms of that's part of the verses from like 6 to 9, where we kind of where there was that emphasis as well. So Paul's encouragement to Timothy just stir up the gift of God that was kind of given to Timothy, and telling him to continuing with his his service to God as well. There's a bit that we kind of touched on as well, or might not have touched on as much, was probably around like verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind as well. So there is that, I guess, like, even though it's quite difficult and even though everything may be quite intimidating, I guess, in terms of like doing God's work, you shouldn't actually have that spirit of fear, and but to actually be able to lean on God's love. I'd probably say it's also quite similar in terms of in terms of previous in terms of previous in terms of like, there's actually similar verses actually in the Old Testament as well, which I thought was quite similar. So from Joshua and Exodus, where God kind of speaks to the people of Israel, telling them to be strong and also courageous as well. So I found that quite similar in both of them in terms of the verses as well. And then afterwards, we kind of discussed on that in terms of the share with me in the sufferings as well. And there was a few very good sharing in terms of our own carrying of the cross, and which was quite similar to everything that was shared with us before with Simon and Trini. But I think there's also like a bit of a remembrance that, like, I think it's a bit of an open invite as well for us to actually be able to pray for each other and also to bear the burdens of others as well, in terms of like sharing in terms of the suffering. So we'll probably move on to verses 9 to 14 today. We kind of slightly touched on them, so we'll probably carry on with those verses. Alan, if I can ask you to read for us, if that's okay.
Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Thank you, Alan. So I guess, again, we kind of shared on this quite lightly last week as well, in terms of our sharing on this passage here, I'll say. So in terms of like my interpretation, or like my kind of reading in terms of this part, I guess this is the reason why Paul is also calling us to actually sad, and also his own reason why he kind of went before God and is going through all these trials and tribulations as well. And I think this is something that we all kind of lightly touched on from last week in terms of what Christ has done for us and also his calling from it as well, and also that which kind of gave us our purpose and also everything else as well. So in terms of what follows afterwards, there's a few verses, so verses 11 to 12, where Paul kind of talks about suffering and persecution, and also the bit about, I know who I believe, and I'm persuaded he is able to keep what Paul had committed to him. So I think this is actually quite a well-known hymn for people at church, I believe, so we're all quite well versed in it. But I think when you kind of read it and when you kind of read understand it, there is a lot that, there is that talk about what Paul has actually committed over to God as well. And then also the following verses as well, from 13 to 14, about being persistent. And also it talks about that, what I guess either deposit or committed as well. It also kind of touches on that again. So I think today will probably be quite good in terms of the follow up in terms of the sharing here. It'd be quite good to hear about people sharing in terms of that commitment to God. What does that mean? And also in terms of the different verses, how do they kind of differ from each other as well?
I just want to just share something since there's a gap. Verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. And this is telling Timothy, be not therefore ashamed. And there are illustrations in this chapter of three people, at least, apart from Timothy. There's one in verse, there are two in verse 15, Phygellus and Hermogen. And there's another one in 16, Onesiphorus. They all suffer in a very difficult situation. And we've shared before, persecutions from Nero or from the Jews. And regarding in verse 15, the two names, they have turned away from me. It means that they are ashamed of the testimony of the law and of Paul being a prisoner, but they will not suffer evil along with the glad tidings. It's true. Now, I think we must remember, if our names are written in a very negative way, God remembers it, yeah? Because in the Bible, so we need to be very, very sure. Yeah. Don't take it as if God won't know, They have turned away from me. We don't know these two people. I tried to search and find out, are there any other information about them? No. Except that they could be the leaders at that time. One of those leaders. Yeah. Okay. So there's another one, Onesiphorus 16. What happened? He, in verse 17, being in Rome, sought me out very diligently and found me. Okay. So that's, he has often refreshed me in verse 16 and has not been ashamed of my chain. I think because these three names are mentioned, it means that they are significant during that time. Two gave Paul very disappointed, obviously disappointed Paul, and one encouraged Paul very much. And at that time, if you visit a prisoner kept in high security, that is because of some, we can call it today, anti-country or the ruling party, and you'll be in trouble. Like in China or in Russia. And you dare to visit someone in cabin such high security, and you dare to, I mean, he didn't know where Paul was kept. So he sought me out very diligently. In so many prisons, dungeons at that time. You know, you had to find out and go and explore where Paul was. And he found him and refreshed me. I believe this is not just a fellowship, but it's food, basics. Because in the dungeon, they don't provide you much. Huh? So he was not ashamed of Paul's chain. So he risked his life very much. We know that he's got a family. We know that he's not just a single person. He's got a family. Because this is later on, back in further down, chapter 4, verse 19. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus. Yeah. So he's got a house, he's got family, he's got a wife, but he took the trouble. And he lived in Ephesus at that time. It's quite a way from Ephesus to Rome. And only because he loved the Lord, he was standing when other people are falling off. Yeah. He's standing. And I also checked his name. His name means to bring some sort of profit, not money-wise, benefit. No. So he's not someone that Paul make use of. You know, well, here someone is bringing me food and all that. Rather, he himself did it so willingly. He's not someone being Paul sort of like told him to. So this is something very, very precious, because so often we do when we are told, and if we're not told, and though we see the need, we don't just respond to it. Yeah, we are told, but he, out of his own love and standing for the law, he risked his life. These are the two. They deserted Paul and the testimony because they want to save their life at that time. If you just say, I don't want Jesus, then you'll be fine. You'll be safe. But you want to testify for Jesus, you risk like Paul. I think it's very to see the situation. Why Timothy was in such tears. You don't cry for nothing, do you? Of some trivial matter. I'm sure he was crying for the situation of the church. And there is just one to go back to the word rekindle in verse 6. Now, there is a footnote, if you read the Darby Bible, which refer to Genesis 45:27. And this is how Jacob, when he was so down because he's already lost, Joseph, and it was later on when he realized Joseph was still alive through the other brothers coming. And his spirit was rekindled, 45:27, revived. So we could use the word reviving. And there is a footnote in Darby that the whole subject of the epistle, that is in this epistle, is energy in the darkening state of the assembly. Yeah. When the assembly is in a darkening state, we don't have any energy. Routine. Just go on a routine. Just keep the minimum, our duty, fulfilling the minimum. But I think Timothy was in a worse situation than just lack of energy. I think he was quite alone in the situation. But it was the faith that kept them, the pure faith, unfeigned faith. Just as in his mother and grandmother. So yeah, so we could sense a little bit from the writing here of how difficult the situation. But Paul is saying he is a herald in verse 11 of this gospel. A herald. A preacher, that is. An apostle and a teacher. So what does he teach? That is in, what is this glad tidings? I did mention about personification of glad tidings. It doesn't mean that glad tidings become like a man, but it is like suffer along with the glad tidings, because this is power, this is the life, this is God, this is Jesus. So you don't suffer for some doctrine like the ISIS, you know, the build themselves up. But here is to do with Jesus, to do with this gospel, yeah. So he preached, what did he preach? Saved us in verse 9, as called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. This is very important. We think that we can gain favor by our work, no. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages of time. So instead of call and working for it, then we know that God has given to us in his own purpose and grace given to us through Jesus Christ. So we are familiar with not according to our works. I'm sure we know salvation is not by our works, but through faith, yeah? Not our own works. Let's be boast. But then the purpose and also his grace. His salvation is purely grace. Yeah. And not according to our works. I think Paul brings this back to this, not by our own works, even though it may please God so much. This work is not our own works, even though it may be the work of God, remembered by God. So Paul brings it back to Onesiphorus, that the law in verse 18, the law grant to him to find mercy from the laws in that day. So Paul speaks of mercy. It's not how well this person has done to be remembered in God. Find mercy in that day. Well, I don't want to go into some speculation, but just make you aware that Onesiphorus might be dead already because of his service. He might be dead already. So Paul is encouraging Timothy. But this is pure, we don't know. There's no clear statement about whether he was alive or dead. But if you look back at what I mentioned, salute the house of Onesiphorus. You know, maybe he wasn't there. Maybe he was absent. So, maybe he was dead. You can see, yeah, this very precious testimony of brother and sister. That's all.
There was an apostle and Onesiphorus. There was not only being on a chain of Paul's chain, but the fact that his name is written here, like publicly, I think is making him dangerous. Let's say, our name maybe is on some sort of maybe Chinese website, country. You can imagine it's very dangerous for him. So yeah, I think he really got the faith to the Lord and then the brave. But I think if I were Paul, I won't be like written down his name because it will make him and his family endangered. But I think why is Paul written down his name here? One point is as an example to help Timothy, because maybe Timothy is maybe step back or low in spirit and not be that high profile. But this Elizabeth, basically, he's very high profile, because if Paul can write his name here, means that he already known by a lot of people, no need to be if Paul highlights here and that he's not well known, then he will be in danger. But he already maybe well known in Christians well, so Paul write the name here. So I think it's very encouraging for me, because he really risked his life, and also not risking his life, but also with his family. I always don't understand, like, for some missionaries, some of the missionaries, that their whole family, that the children are born in that country, and then some, we know that the whole family is Sundo, murdered by someone. So yeah, it's really encouraging. I think especially for Timothy, because he was low in the spirit, and then I think Paul said a lot of things to encourage him. But at the end of this chapter, he really point out this family and as a living example, sacrifice, and then to encourage Timothy. I think when we follow the Lord, it's really not just ourselves, not just the Lord being glorified, but also we affect others. We don't know, maybe when just now Uncle David said he might already, the Elizabeth might already die. Maybe he didn't know that, his sacrifice or like his service really helped Timothy. And then, it's a really, really, really good and glorified thing.
Just now, brothers, they all just, jump to verse 15 onwards. I amen that, from verse 13 or 15 onwards, that is mentioned about the loneliness. But I think at the beginning of the of this session, brother wants us to focus on verse 9 to 14. We just read. when brother mentioned it, I kind of thinking of verse 9. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And I think we mentioned about purpose last week. Don't forget about the background of what happening at that time. I think Paul just now mentioned, you know, he was in prison and nearly, you know, kind of he's waiting to be killed, to be martyred. And then and at that time, you know, he had the light from the Lord. And, you know, really have to encourage Timothy, because at that time, even Timothy wasn't in prison. But, you know, we mentioned about Nero, King Nero, that, you know, the persecution on, you know, for the Christian, which is externally, and internally, we mentioned that, you know, many weeks ago, that, you know, in the church, within the church, he got, you know, a lot of the pressure as well. Now, the external, internal, and also, you know, the mental, you know, or, you know, spiritual father, for Timothy at that time, that, you know, what happened to him and, to Paul, and make him very fear and make him hopeless, hopefully. And, it's not only just like we all may share just about, you know, we are in trouble, or, you know, we kind of depressed. However, I think at that time it is life and death, and, you know, it is, you know, it is the fear in the church that, you know, the people that actually go against him, and hopeless, like, you know, if we face, you know, just that we look at, you know, Paul, what happened to Paul at that time. If it's only just, you know, the outward, we will think that, oh my gosh, you know, somebody who follow Jesus, you know, so closely, and, you know, if have that kind of the ending. If you can't see the spiritual, you can't see, you know, the things that untouched, we won't be able to, you know, be lifted up. And the purpose is very important. You know, and the purpose of a calling is very important. When you are very down, when you're very downcast, you are hopeless, you are kind of very fear, you are really in under trouble, you know, have a lot of stress. You know, at that time, you know, be sober. You know, how are you going to be sober? And I think, you know, probably, you know, in Paul's heart and mind, it is all about this, that, you know, really want to lift Timothy up and, you know, just remind him, why are you called? You know, sometimes that when we actually have an ending, we have to know the end of the tunnel, what's going for and what's on. You know, not only just, you know, for God. Say, for example, you want to make something, okay? And you have to know, you know, that ending, what is the ending? And during the time that it's difficulties, then you won't be easily to be persuaded to give up. And if you know the purpose of what is it for, and I think that is why in here, Paul actually tried to remind Timothy. And at that time, whatever he was going through at the time, if he can be sober and tell Timothy about this, he set an example, and he let, you know, God work, Jesus work first, and then he set an example. He used his life, you know, to let Timothy to see, you know, don't be ashamed, don't be shaken, you know, just focus on the Lord, focus on Jesus, and that is what you are actually called for. So, I mean, verse 9, I have that kind of the thought. And also verse 10, it reminds him that, you know, we can't actually do it by ourselves. But, you know, in verse 10, it is Jesus has already, you know, gained the victory. Jesus has already done it. Jesus already, you know, just went through it. And, you know, Jesus actually, set the example and then just, went before them, you know, and, you know, be, you know, and won, and, you know, won victory. And now left us what to do. We just have to choose. I think from verse 11 onwards, you know, to 14, especially 13 and 14, it will be just, you know, reminding him that, you know, keep it, you know, hold on to Jesus, hold on to what you are, you know, called for, hold on to, you know, our victorious, Jesus, you know, to win this battle. And, you know, keep it, guard it, and that is, you know, kind of, you know, in these few verses, what it actually, mentioned. So, I mean, if, you know, brother just now saying that, you know, for different verses, you know, what are we going to, you know, see in different verses, and saying that, you know, our commitment to God, if we know our purpose, every day is supposed to be, you know, we know our commitment. But, you know, I think through all this, there's something that, you know, it just triggered my mind. In the spiritual battle, if you are having nothing happen to you, probably Satan even thinks that you are not really worth for me to actually do anything. Or maybe, you know, to trigger any problem, you know, to stop God's work. And I think whatever, you know, Timothy and Paul facing, how significant, you know, they are in the battle. And, you know, but, you know, they are not actually rely on themselves to, you know, to gain the victory, but they have to, you know, especially verse 10. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So Jesus has already done it. But I mean, from that verse onward, 12 to 13, 14, actually, we know what we trust in. And 13 and 14, we have to remember it. We have to guard it. We have to keep it. We have to keep and what God actually entrusts to us. So for 13 and 14, you know, it is for us. You know, we have to choose God. We still have to choose to stand with Him. But you know, for verse 10 and 11, actually telling us that, you know, we kind of our Jesus has already done the victory. I think that's what I actually got from there. And through our life, though that we are not as downcast, I don't think I had experience as downcast as Paul or, you know, Timothy. At least my life is not because, you know, at risk or in danger. Though that, you know, in a very, very depressed, you know, or perhaps maybe very downcast time that I have been through, but I don't think as the extended to that. But we think of, you know, in our life, we have been to difficulties, and we have been to, at that time, how are you going to be lifted up? Is it what actually described in here that, you know, you reminded of the purpose you have, you need to be the testimony for God, stand firm, guard yourself, not be actually, you know, be sober. And I think be sober is very important. The time that, you know, very downcast. Because sometimes we can be really dragged really down. And then we forgot about the purpose. We forgot about, you know, what we are for. What we forgot about testimony. We forgot about, you know, we forgot about a lot of the things that which is for God. But don't get lost at the time. Don't get lost. It's not only just our personal. I think in here, just now the prayer is mentioned a lot to do with the church. And if we always just, you know, in the context that only just kind of fight the battle just for ourselves, we lost the big picture. Because, you know, it's like ripple effect. Sometimes, you know, it's just like war between countries. We always have to, you know, get the important people first. I think, you know, remember our role. Remember if we down, okay, it would be ripple effects, you know, to the people around you. And the battle, how are we going to fight together, you know, to gain the corporate, you know, victory? I think that's something that, you know, we can actually think about and, you know, share on.
And I just want to mention, I think, Daniel, at the beginning of the Bible study, you mentioned something about verse 7,
yep,
that we hadn't said much about it. Is that right? Where it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Was that the word you were referring to? Yes. Yeah. And I was just thinking, you know, how we as, you know, humans, we naturally, you know, in ourselves, we have fear, isn't it? Fear, we feel we are powerless. You know, we have our insecurities, inadequacies, and so forth. And we can get ourselves into a bit of a fix, isn't it? We may not be thinking properly kind of thing. But I also think, I mean, what Ben sisters have shared, you know, we keep our mind on what the goal is. There is so-called light at the end of the tunnel, we know, is to know Jesus and to, you know, focus on him, isn't it? You know, but there is a process as well, isn't it? You know, that journey. And it made me think of Moses, you know, in the beginning, isn't it? How the Lord had to teach him and how he was dealt with before he could go and face Pharaoh. Because when the Lord met him at the burning bush, you know, he says, oh no, don't send me, I'm not eloquent, I cannot, you know. But we know that the Lord dealt with him and worked in him, and eventually he went. I mean, we could, maybe I'll just read a few verses. It was in Hebrews. Yes, Hebrews 11. Maybe if I start from verse 23. Hebrews 11:23, you know, how God had to work in Moses, so that in the end, it says in verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, or goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then it goes on, going back to Timothy, chapter 1. That's why in verse 8, you know, this is Paul reminding Timothy, isn't it? You know, what God has given to you is not the spirit of fear. We need to be connected with God for him to rid of our fears and to learn to trust and have faith in him, isn't it? And of power. It's not our power, but it's God's enabling in every situation. And of love, you know, we grow in his love and of a sound mind. And verse 8 says, be not thou therefore. So therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony. You know, don't be ashamed of being a Christian. You know, don't be afraid. You know, sometimes we are afraid to speak of the gospel to certain people, isn't it? Sometimes we fear man more than we fear God. And we need to, you know, the Lord has to work in us, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, it takes time. But I also, you know, Timothy, Paul, he's using himself as an example because he is going through exactly these things. So when he says, oh, do not be ashamed, in verse 12, he is speaking of himself. For the which cause, you know, for the sake of the gospel, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. So he's saying, I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed, you know, Timothy, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And it's the holding fast. So as a spiritual father, he's been through things, so he can, you know, it's not empty words he's saying to Timothy, but to encourage. And it's the same for us, isn't it? I mean, as Sister said, we may not be in a situation like this, whether it's house arrest or prison, you know, suffering fear from Nero, you know, he's going to kill us. I mean, it must have been so awful. But today, even as Christians, in our situations, which, you know, we have to go through life, isn't it? we say, and the Lord Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have problems. And those things can, you know, we can be fearful of those things because God says, I'm with you, you know. Don't be afraid, you know, trust in me. Hold on to me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Lord, you know.
The funny thought, because at the end of the day, Paul's the one in prison, and Timothy's the one in. So you'd think Timothy'd be writing the encouraging words to Paul instead, right? But I think, what was shared by sisters already, Paul knew the reason why he was there. He was really clear on his purpose and why he was there. You know, his testimony for the Lord, his work for the Lord, and he wasn't ashamed of it. And obviously, what Uncle David said mentioned, there's always a stigma when you're in prison. There's always a stigma that goes along with it. Oh, he's done something wrong, right? He's either an enemy of the state, he's either a criminal. But Paul was in there because purely for preaching the word of the Lord. And doing the work of the Lord. And just because the religious leaders in Jerusalem, they had something, you know, against him. They thought, oh, we'll just make up some lies. And, you know, and then obviously Paul petitioned to see Caesar. And it's very same way of what the Lord went through, right? Because the Lord came to bring salvation. But the very people who are supposed to understand him, the Pharisees, they didn't, and they're the ones who made up, basically, they try to make up false accusations against the Lord, and obviously, ultimately, they wanted to put him to death, and that sort of, the sort of similar parallels I could see between Paul and Jesus, like their work, and those who are always against this. But yeah, I found it quite amazing how, despite being in prison, it's probably not nice as it is nowadays. You know, in prison nowadays, you can watch TV, play video games, read books. Back then, it was just, I don't know, it'd probably be just the cell you kept in with other people and were not really nice themselves. So really, you know, I'm not trying to make comparisons, but, you know, it's people who've actually maybe murdered other people or really politically not aligned with Rome or were, yeah, at one stage, not aligned. But, you know, just, it can be a very dark place to be in, I can imagine. So for Paul, it's probably hard and difficult going, but despite that, he sees his purpose that the Lord has given him. And, his heart is very much still with Timothy. He's not thinking about himself. He's still thinking about those who are serving alongside him. And Timothy, he doesn't want Timothy to be discouraged in any shape or form. So he writes this letter to him to try and encourage him in his part as, because, you know, Timothy is, you say, his protege. So he didn't want him to
be discouraged, but he wants him to continue in the work the Lord has set for him, and knowing the Lord, and you know, he sort of mentions how the Lord is able to guard that what he entrusted to him until that day. So you know, that very, you know, whether it be his life, his work that he does for the Lord, you know, the Lord will bring it to a purpose, you know, that God has given to him, set to do. So yeah, I find it just quite encouraging in that aspect, that because you always see in films, like when you see a person go and visit someone else in prison, the person in prison is always like either crying or just like, oh, it's so difficult in here. But it's like, yeah, and the person outside, the other side, is just giving him that encouragement, or yeah. But this is like a total flip side of what you usually expect, I think. Yeah. So it's all by God's grace, really. God is the one that, I guess, carries Paul in that time, and his faith in the Lord is, you know, set upon him and firm in him. Yeah.
It's usually the other way around, isn't it? Paul should be the one that was suffering. Yes, but it just reminded me of some verses in Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I think many of us may know these verses anyway. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting from verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As the sufferings of the Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So just to say very simply, sometimes, I mean, we can see Paul, he's the one that's going through it, you know, being locked up and so forth. But he is going through it with God. Therefore, he, in this situation, he's knowing God's grace and strength. Therefore, he is able to comfort Timothy, you know, and say, look to God. And the same with us, you know, we might have gone through something very sad or very trying. And at the end, by the grace of God, we've come through it. And then when we see somebody else going through the same, who, and they're really afflicted, we can say, Lord is with you. Don't give up. Look to God. I've been through it, or somebody else has been through it. Trust in God. And, you know, to comfort and encourage in that way.
Wow. Thanks for everyone sharing, because I want to jump in quite early on, but everyone is like, I'm not adding anything from what was sharing, but I really amen on what have been shared. Like, I really find knowing our purpose of being called out, like throughout the weeks and months that we've been sharing on like how God called us to serve him, and this is the purpose. And interestingly, like Uncle Sunny did share with me personally about the personal calling as of the church calling as well, and knowing this purpose is so clear that those who are in front of us have not turned away or been timid or be scared of what they have been faced through all suffering that's been mentioned previously. So like just here, I like for me it's the same as well. First hand is so important that it mentioned how it revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. Like, he knows so clear of this purpose, and he also knows so clear that this is the calling that God have asked of him, that it is also not of knowledge only, but in his life, that he really can see his calling, so it won't be easily be shaken by anything that he's facing, like everyone say. Even the tunnel feels dark and long, and there's no light of the tunnel, but he already seen it. He already know that that's not the purpose to suffer, but is for God already have win. And I'm not sure how to share, but on 1 Timothy verse 15-16, he also talk about how, why he thinks, like he is a testimony for God. So here is a trustworthy thing that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus may display his ultimate patience as an example of those who believe on him and receive eternal life. Chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 in 1 Timothy. So it is like very clear that he know God has saved him, and God used him. Even he say he is the worst of sinner, that God can still use him. And he constantly reminded Timothy that even like him, God have not forsake him. And I think from what everyone shared, like, there's so many people suffering, but some may turn away, some may persevere. And how much we can see that calling and purpose, that on verse 13 it say, he encouraged Timothy, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I think all along, Paul did not say he can do it by himself. He keep mentioning the grace and the purpose of God, that we can't do it by ourselves. Even we can see our calling, if we try to use our own strength, we will definitely fail. And sometimes we thought we can do it by ourselves to prove that how much we love God. But in here, he keep emphasizing that he could not do it by himself. He also encourage Timothy that word, the sound teaching, like just previous share, is not a doctrine or instruction that is is law, but it is a living word which we all been share about how important we need to abide in him and he abide in us, that this word we know is a living word that can refresh us, and we need to guard it, but not by ourselves keeping it, but with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us as well. So, like, we always say the word is like the double sword that can get through the heart and the spirit, that how much we have this word, the Bible, in us, that God can use it to entrust us with this good deposit. It is like, it's two ways. Like, we need to hold fast on what we have been entrusted for, but we also need to remember that it's by grace that we can hold fast on it, not on our own strength.
Yeah, I agree with what Roxanne shared in the latter part, that it's about God's faithfulness, God's love, and the Holy Spirit that keep us through. I think it could be in a situation that we are just having the intellectual knowledge, or it's the history that we learn about Paul or Moses or someone else who have walked before us. If we don't have the reality in the Lord, if we have not experienced the Lord, if we do not see how real it is, I think it's really hard for us to try to achieve what God wants by our own strength. I think Paul, to him, is very real, because initially he persecuted Jesus' disciple, and then he met with the Lord in, was it Damascus? That sort of experience make him feel that the relationship with the Lord and God's grace, or all things about God, is very real. And I think that is the thing that keep him moving. I think for us today, like what Auntie Pan has shared just now, it's very easy for us to be in our own cave, our own main cave, that we do not see things clearly. So only with God's help, I think it is God's faithfulness that keep us through, rather than us having the faith to go through things. Of course, we first need to have the faith as well, but I think God's faithfulness overcome things more than our little faith, because we are really of little faith. And our love towards the Lord is very small compared to how the Lord loves us. And also, it's very precious that we have this Holy Spirit. Because if we don't have this guide in us to tell us when God wants to talk to us, then we just get lost. And of course, it's like what my friend said, it's a mutual way. We need to respond to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit prompts us as well. Otherwise, it's just not following what God wants us to do.
What's the meaning of the deposit in verse 12? So the deposit referred to verse 13. Outline of sound words. And have means have an outline. It doesn't mean that you just scribble something down, the outline. It means holding fast to this, to the sound word. I was thinking about the outline, because at that time there was not yet the whole Bible or even the New Testament. Yeah. So he heard from Paul, and mainly from Paul, Timothy, I mean. And at that time today we don't want to say doctrine, because doctrine becomes like any religion can have doctrine. But then we still need to have a sound, we know what is the sound words of God. Isn't it? Like we've been challenged by the Jehovah's Witness. Can you, if you have a Bible study with them, can you use the word of God as a sword? Yeah. It's quite challenging, you know, when we have Bible study with Helen. And it's not just knowing what they believe in, but we need to know what's the word of God? What does the word of God say? Different to Jehovah's Witness. What they say. Yeah. So, Timothy has heard a lot of me, yeah, but then he has to be clear out of all this, as it were, an outline. I think this outline is not just we, like, answering an exam question, outline, whatever it is, an outline. But I think to be clear, you know, to be clear, something cannot be confused, muddled. Yeah. I think they are shared by the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. A good deposit, I believe it is in verse 13, entrusted. Because we read in 1 Timothy that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not that we make it up ourselves. So, it's only the Holy Spirit can keep what God has entrusted us. And it is, must be quite a big responsibility for Timothy, isn't it? Very big responsibility to guard this deposit. I looked up the meaning of deposit. There is another meaning to it. It's something precious. It's a treasure that God has given us as a deposit. So if we do not regard it as a treasure, something precious, we just squander away.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that bank, Barings Bank in London. How the thieves dug into their safe with all the people keep all the jewelry's gold bars and wills and documents. They dug into it through the drainage, drew it open, and they opened all the deposit boxes. The deposit boxes, that's the deposit. Very precious. They opened it up, every single one stole all the important things. Yeah, gone. If you don't, I mean, Satan is better than the thief, you know, who dug into the deposit. Satan is very clever. He doesn't need to dig into the deposit. He's just doing it now. So I think to be honest, we need to read God's word. If you don't read God's word, what's the chance of you guarding it? We don't even treasure the word of God as the deposit from God. So we just let Satan have his few days, as it were, in us. So, yeah, I think it's important. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Barings Bank has collapsed, gone bankrupt, because it just couldn't pay for all this gold and wow. So let us not be bankrupt before God. Spiritual bankruptcy.
I think talking about the deposit, verse 12 and 14 are quite interesting, because in verse 12 Paul is saying that God will keep verse 12 says, "For I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him." So Paul is saying that God will entrust the deposit, that his deposit to God. But in 14, it's the other way around. In verse 14, it says, "Keep by the Holy Spirit," which, well, that's the good deposit entrusted. So we are to entrusted with the deposit God gives to us. So it's like in both ways, isn't it? And I think, as Uncle David mentioned, this deposit is supposed to be like a treasure. And, we don't own it. And the one analogy I was reading was like, if you're in a museum curator, you're given some priceless treasure to look after. You know, you have to use every means to maintain that. So, like we always travel went to one of the art museums in Krakow. And like a lot of paintings, or you have to have a certain light to preserve the painting, you have to keep the room in certain temperature. And so, you know, and you have to do, you know, you have different tools to help you to maintain those artifacts. And it's like, you know, we're not, you know, even though it's been entrusted to us, is we're not using our own ability, but it's, you know, it's Christ, it's God's grace that we're able to keep that and, to preserve it, but also to, pass it on to, you know, other generations so that they, you know, they can know. And deposit is the gospel message, which, as Uncle Dave said, yeah, they didn't have the full gospel in those days. I think the other thing I was thinking about from all the sharing today was a few of the verses that came to my mind was like in verse 9, it says that, you know, has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his main purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. So it's really by God's grace that we're called, and you know we can serve. And what's the other part? In verse 10, where we read, but who has annulled death and brought to light life and incorruptible by the glad tidings. So I think Paul is quite a unique case because, you know, as we shared, you know, God or Christ kind of manifested himself to Paul on the road to Emmaus, was it?
Yeah.
So he knows what hardship he's got to go through. And so he sees himself all the wrong he's done in his persecution of Christians in the past. And he's, you know, he always says that he's the chief of sinners, and he's trying to right the wrong that he's done, and he's perfectly willing to go on the cross or to die for the sake of the gospel. But I think I'm also reminded when I see Paul, but also in Peter, when we see Peter, you know, he was very confident in himself, and maybe that's a different way that in the trial he denied Christ three times, but you know, God was able to use that, his failures to build him up. And I think, you know, going through difficulties, I think it's very easy to, you know, to have that instinct to protect ourselves, you know, when we're kind of, you know, put in a very difficult situation. And I think it's just God's, you know, grace to, you know, help us through those. That's just my thoughts.
I was thinking that, I know, Daniel, sorry, we haven't kind of reached kind of those 15 that I'm waiting over there. But we already shared quite a bit. I'm thinking about the five names that we mentioned, i.e. obviously Timothy, Paul, and then the two in kind of those 15, Phygellus and Hermogenes, and then Onesiphorus, obviously. And I'm thinking, obviously, we are like them, isn't it? Because they're all believers, even including the two who kind of turned away from Paul. And if you were to ask the question, who do you want to be? Obviously not these two. We want to be Paul, we want to be Timothy, and we want to be Onesiphorus, obviously. But I think reading here is a reminder to me, definitely, you know, we could be one of them, those two that mentioned in verse 15. How dare you say I won't be like one of them? And it's a reminder to us, you know, our kind of responsibility to one another, even, you know, in walking this journey. You know, the Lord has provided us, you know, a household that, you know, we can be brothers and sisters to one another. And to me, when I'm reading this, you know, few people here, it's definitely a reminder that God has called us. And with which very much, you know, God has saved us, you know, to serve him. And we are to serve him But at the same time, we are responsible to each other as well. It is not that, you know, you are my problem or I am your problem, but we can be one another's problem in that sense. You know, how are we leading one another in brackets, i.e. towards, you know, what God wants. You know, we talk about that we need to be clear that calling God has called us. And I think today we have that responsibility to, you know, to brothers and sisters in that, you know, you make a choice to believe in the Lord. That is your choice. That is correct. But I think God do not call us to be an individual or Christian as such, but God calls us to enter His house. And I think that when we are called into the house or His household, obviously it's more than one person. And I think we have that responsibility towards one another. And that reminded me long ago, I think, not that I remember very well. Like, Pauline always asked me, oh, this is, I don't remember. I can't remember what happened yesterday. But I definitely remember this when we left our first, you know, when we were a student, we finished our study. So this is quite a long time ago. And at the time, which is kind of quite similar to many places in the UK at the time, you have student fellowships, you know, Christians, Chinese Christian fellowship, and I think, you know, the Chinese Christian will gather together. And I remember at the time when we were in Alpha at the time, at the peak, when I say at the peak, I most number of people coming to, you know, join the fellowship. 30, 40 people, you know, it's, you may think it's not a big number compared to here and there, but at the time, you know, to us, wow, it's a lot of people. But by the time we left, there's only what? Five, maybe? I don't remember, but very few people. And it was quite, I don't know how to describe it, because we had hymn books, and I remember I live in the campus, we live in the campus, so we kind of like, you carry your cheap cups home, kitchen boxes, whatever. So we have the hymn books, we take it back. And towards the end, when we finish our study, the fellowship stopped because there's no new people coming in. No more. And then we had to kind of hand it over to a couple who sort of kind of looked like Irish brothers and sisters. Kind of, I think we passed it today. And obviously it's kind of a journey at the time for us, but it was kind of quite, I don't know how I describe it, the feeling I had. It's like, is that it kind of thing? But I think at that time it was kind of a student journey as such. And I remember earlier, I think on Monday, I think Ross and Jason were sharing, I think Ross had made a comment about, you know, me at the moment, even. I mean, I can say it very well because I know that because I put up chairs. So and recently, I mean, over the last couple of months, I mean, Ross had mentioned, she said, oh, what's the word in English? I don't even know. Say, oh, Taylor, is it the situation? I think to her, it's like so few people in that sense. And yes, I get that sense that less chairs are required. And by the same time, interestingly, probably the wrong words to use. At one point, let's say, you know, a year ago, 6 months ago, whatever, we're struggling for chairs. Yeah, because churches keep disappearing in rows through some people. Why not? But over the last few months, chairs seems to be returning, but we don't need so many chairs. So it's like that. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, what are you telling me here? When I need a chair, there are no chairs. When I don't need chairs, there are plenty of chairs. But put that aside, I think to me, it's not so much, you know, how many people, you know, the more the better and all that. But it's more, I think the Lord is looking for the quality, I can't think of a better word, but, you know, I suppose you talk about commitment to Him and all that, is, if I may use this, when the goings get tough, do we run away? You know, when the situation is challenging, do we run away? I think the passage is more reminding Timothy, I know I agree, you know, because it's like quite strangely, but usually the other way around, in terms of writing letters. For Paul, I mean, he is definitely on his own in the prison, yet his heart is still very much, you know, wanting to encourage Timothy to carry on. I'm sure Timothy's situation is not great at the time, you know, the challenges that he was facing. I remember Uncle Sonny mentioned right beginning of chapter. Sorry, First Timothy, isn't it? Like, what has been given to him, and is Timothy feeling, wow, you know, what am I going to do with all this kind of thing? Being, you know, a younger brother, shall we say, compared to Paul. So, I think to me, you know, today's, you know, the sharing is kind of reminding us that walking this journey, Auntie Eileen already mentioned, there's four tribulations is not surprising because God's word already told us that we will have that. And I think we'd be thankful that we're for our sisters, and more importantly, I think, is that it's individually, you know, we have the responsibilities towards one another and towards the Lord, obviously, because the Lord has paid the price for us. And link up with what Simon and Trinity share. To us, maybe thinking, oh, lots of big things, but it is that making the choice, and if we go, you know, whether even the going is easy or tough, it is making a choice for him. And we talk about big words, you know, bearing the cross and all that, but I think we've been reminded again, the cross is only a process, isn't it? It's not the end, it's not the goal.
Can I just share something before we finish? And I think when our children were about Jason, Chills, was same, more the same age as John. He's slightly older, 4 months even. I remember this brother, Mansuk Suk, you know, and Lila, they lived nearby in Gosford. They would come down, drive down, and then pick up Jason, pick up John and Hannah. To where on Sunday? To Central Baptist. And just three of them, I mean four of them, three children and Mansuso and Lila, they set up all the chairs. Yeah. And I remember so clearly, you know, down Lawson Road, they were there. I saw the car, they go, quick, go in and into the car. Yeah. And, well, it seems to be a long time ago. We were meeting in Central Baptist. Yeah, long time ago. John was probably 5 or 4 with Jason about. But they were there. They had lunch early and they were there to set all the chairs. Right? Obviously now it's different. I was just thinking, you know, whether our children, like those, some or other, like our children, they might like to help. Because you remember, Jason was that time must be 5, John about 5, Hannah about 8, maybe. They were just doing the chairs. There's always the Lord's grace upon our children. Lead them to serve the Lord in that time where very few people, we didn't have a lot of people in our meeting, about 30.
So I think today was going to be quite rich. I think it's been very good, kind of touched on quite a lot of topics across the whole chapter 1, which has been quite good. Probably just end with a couple of thoughts, I guess. So kind of think whether I should, like, I guess, like,
I'm comfortable with like jumping around, by the way, in terms of this chapter. I think like it's meant to be free sharing. So I think how we kind of touch on the different points is actually quite touching. I think like for the most of it, actually, I think that probably it was when Aunt Eileen touched on Corinthians in terms of the thing there, the part of me that I was thinking is like, who was comforting Paul? If Paul was comforting Timothy, then he was comforting Paul. And then I think it quite nicely said that it was like it was God who was being that constant comforter of Paul, which is like it's really true, I guess. Especially like in terms of the difficult times that Paul is currently enduring in this part of the letter as well. The other bit I'd probably say is like the, I think Alan kind of touched on it, but the bit I was trying to get to was about what we're, it says commitment, but I think deposit is probably quite a good word for like in terms of, the switch in terms of, the verse 12 and also verse 13 or 14, in terms of the interaction there. And it's, I think that's what's really highlighted to Paul in terms of why he's doing this and why he's going through that, he's kind of given up everything for it because he knows it's worth it. But also in the same way, what God has committed to him is also just as important as well. So I think for next week, there's probably a little bit we could probably finish off chapter one, maybe start on chapter two potentially. We'll see how it goes. Jason Chan, if you have to close in prayer for us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.